Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the corporate reporting season and U.S. equity valuations. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Matthew Tormey, Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Matt, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hey, good morning, Siobhan, and thanks for having me.
Of course, so let's get started. Let's begin with the upcoming corporate reporting season. Can you walk us through CIO's expectations?
Starting today, the second quarter earnings season is officially kicked off with a few of the major banks reporting. And our main message for this earnings season is that the second quarter results should confirm an acceleration and broadening out in earnings growth. So for the S&P 500, we do expect 10 to 12% earnings per share growth, which represents about a 2 to 3% beat relative to where consensus expectations are today. And if this earnings growth does come to fruition, it would be the fastest in more than 2 years. Now, with all that said, results could be a bit more mixed relative to recent quarters based on some of the recent slowdown in economic data that we've been seeing and the results from the early reporters, which, right, have been more mixed. And historically, we've seen a decent relationship between the results from the early reporters and how the rest of the earnings season may play out. Also, in the second quarter, as I just mentioned, we do expect earnings growth to continue to broaden out. And although earnings growth for the Mag 7 should continue to be quite strong, we're likely to see a slowdown for the group in their earnings growth this quarter, while the S&P 500, excluding the Magnificent 7, should see positive earnings growth for the first time since the end of 2022. If we look across sectors, healthcare, communication services, and tech should post the strongest EPS growth. And finally, we aren't making any changes to our 2024 or 2025 S&P 500 earnings per share estimates as we continue to expect 11% growth this year and 6% growth next year.
With that, what are your thoughts on current U.S. equity valuations and where is CIO seeing the most opportunities within equities?
On valuations at the market level, they are nearing elevated levels versus history, which does suggest returns over a longer-term time horizon will be lower relative to historical averages. But as we've wrote about in some of our previous work, valuations have essentially no correlation to returns in the short term. So thinking over the next 1 to 3 years or so. So we continue to encourage investors to maintain a full allocation to the asset class because we do believe the backdrop continues to be supportive for equities for quite a few reasons, despite the strong gains that we have already experienced this year. First, profit growth remains durable, and we should see further evidence of this in the coming weeks during the second quarter earnings season. A second, inflation is improving, a trend that we've seen over the past couple months now, and this should lead to potential Fed rate hikes in the coming months. And third, robust spending on AI. So with our view that the backdrop continues to be supportive for equities, two areas of the U.S. equity market that we're currently recommending are the tech and industrial sectors. On tech, this is one of, if not the highest quality sector in the market if we look at metrics such as return on invested capital. And here in CIO, we think it's important for investors to maintain exposure to high quality areas of the market given where we are in the business cycle. Also, the sector is the main beneficiary of robust AI infrastructure spending, and the key semiconductor components that are needed for AI will likely remain supply constrained into next year. And a bottoming in PC and smartphone end markets should benefit companies here as well. And on industrials, for investors looking for a bit more cyclical exposure, we think that this sector presents a better opportunity relative to peer groups, as it's more likely to benefit from resilient economic growth, a pickup in manufacturing business sentiment, the reindustrialization of the U.S. economy in certain areas, and aerospace demand. Also, the defense segment of the sector is one way to potentially hedge if there are a rise in tensions across the current geopolitical environment. So, in summary, we recommend investors maintain a full allocation to U.S. equities, and on positioning, we think being selective within sectors is appropriate, and for investors with a longer-term time horizon, small caps could be attractive given their historical valuation discount to large caps.
So I want to turn to the macro calendar. This week, we received the latest round of inflation. Can you review the prints for us?
Yes. So yesterday morning, we did receive the June CPI data, which came in below consensus forecast for both the headline and core readings. So on a month-over-month basis, headline CPI did fall 0.1%, while core CPI, which does exclude food and energy, edged up 0.1%. And on a year-over-year basis, headline CPI rose 3% and core CPI rose 3.3%. And if we look at the underlying details, things were pretty encouraging as shelter inflation slowed quite a bit back down to pre-pandemic levels. Price increases for healthcare services slowed, which has been a relatively persistent category. And we saw flat out declines for both airfare and used cars prices. PPI just this morning for June, a little disappointing as producer prices in June rose by a bit more than expectations as services costs rose 0.6% while goods prices fell 0.5%. However, if you exclude food, energy, and trade from the measure, prices were unchanged versus the prior month. So now the next natural question is, what does this mean for the path of monetary policy? We just reviewed the recent inflation data, which has been mostly encouraging after some stronger monthly increases at the start of the year. And if we look at the labor market, in the June jobs report, although we did see monthly payroll growth come in above expectations, we did see downward revisions of more than 100,000 in the prior 2 months, and the unemployment rate jumped above 4% for the first time since late 2021. So with both inflation and the labor market softening, the door now appears wide open for the Fed to begin cutting rates. In our base case, we still expect the U.S. economy to achieve a soft landing and for the Fed to cut rates twice this year, with the first one coming in September.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Matt, and I want to turn to next week. What will be taking place that investors should be mindful of?
Yeah, so we might be in the heart of summer here, but the economic and earnings calendars for next week will be certainly busy. First, starting with the economic calendar, on Monday, we'll receive the July Empire State Manufacturing Survey results, with consensus currently pointing towards a weakening in the overall index level. On Tuesday, the June retail sales data is set to be released, which has been softer a bit more recently, and expectations are pointing towards a similar print to the prior month. Additionally, we'll get the NAHB housing market index for July, which is projected to see an increase, and we'll be keeping a close eye on this given some other recent housing data points have been cooler. On Wednesday, more on housing with the release of the June housing starts and building permits data points. We'll also receive industrial and manufacturing production data points for June, which are both expected to come in weaker versus the prior month. And the Fed's beige book is set to be published. So the anecdotal commentary from the Fed's key contacts across the country always provide us with valuable insights. Wrapping up the economic calendar for the week on Thursday, we'll get the usual weekly initial and continuing jobless claims numbers. Additionally, another regional Fed manufacturing survey, this time from the Philadelphia Fed for July. And finally, the June leading indicators index will be published, with consensus expecting a negative month-over-month reading, but still an improvement relative to the prior month. Now, if we're looking at the earnings calendar for next week, only about 10% or so of the S&P 500 market cap is set to report as the earnings season really starts to get underway. But the focus next week will be on the banks, as we'll hear from Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs, among others. And outside of the financials, other notable companies do include Netflix, Johnson & Johnson, and United Health.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Matt.
Thanks, Siobhan. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.